Okay, Sunil, crunch time. What do you think this show's going to be about?
It's about your fragile mental health and long-distance friendships, countryside, and rappers' biographies.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, what should we call it, though? We've got to find a gap.
Well, I mean, it's just that it's hard not to find a generic title. And I think you always go for the most disgusting titles.
I've got some titles. I've got some of them are my titles. Some of them are AI type. I talked to an AI bot.
Yeah, you've been going absolutely... I think you've had a... I mean, I don't want to call it a breakdown, but you've been texting over like hundreds of different names to us.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you all right? Is everything okay?
I'm having a rough... big birthday this week, moving out soon. I'm having a tough time, not going to lie.
It's coming at you pretty quick, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? We've got to get the episode. We've got to save some for the future episodes. But I knew I was bad because producer James had to ring me during the weekend when he's spending time with his family just to...
James should have just muted you like I did. Why didn't you just mute the chat, James?
I sort of felt responsible in a way because I said it would be good if it had a title.
That set him off. That would have set him off.
And then it happened.
So he rang up and we talked about the AI and stuff. So I've got a definitive list of names.
All right. Go on then.
And I asked the AI.
What do you mean a definitive list of names?
That's what
you've said. I've had 20 texts that have started like that.
But there's no such thing as a definitive list. That means, what does that mean?
Right. Okay.
You're going to get 20 separate texts.
It means that it's got to be one of these names or I'm going to unplug all my equipment and delete all my social media and that'll
so
be
we
it.
We have to pick one of these. All right,
we
go on
have
then.
To pick one of these names. Oh, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I've had enough. Right. Here we go. The outlaw and the outcast. Oh, that's got an edge. You could cut yourself on that edge.
But which one's which? Who's who?
I'm the outcast because I live in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I'm not an outlaw. I fully support the police and all their actions.
You don't pay. I've known you 12 years, never known you to pay tax. Another one, country mouse. Okay. The one that you suggested, Stank Factory.
I did not suggest that, Chris. I did not. I don't even know what that means. What is Stank? I don't know. What's a factory? No idea. Never been in one.
Clutching at straws. That sounds very different places. That was another one. But my friend said it sounded like a racist 1970s sitcom. Two incredible fellas.
Yeah, okay.
The Ministry of Bantamment.
No, absolutely not. And you know that.
Chris and Sunil's Forbidden Creamery.
What does that mean? What does that mean, though?
I don't know, but it sort of generates like...
Did you come up with that in your head?
That's not an AI. I proudly can say that the creamery is... But I thought it's a good idea because it makes us like creates the illusion that we're master craftsmen making cheese, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like the idea of calling it the creamery. That sounds quite quaint. That's nice.
Sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Good Bud Hotline. Chill, chats, big laughs, the broadcast.
Well, that's a different podcast, isn't it?
Hefty heart, long distance laughs.
What does that mean? Hefty heart, fat heart.
I like that one, but it does sound like a medical.
Yeah.
I felt all right about AI after doing this process, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, I'm okay. Mirthful Mouse does, Dudes Plus Distance.
Why do they all have alliteration?
This is robots for you.
Oh, I thought that was yours.
No, that one's a robot one. Rural Concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds all right.
Let's do that one.
Cool.
Well, sorry.
Great. James is sick of it. Yep, great. Rural Concerns.
Please, that's the title.
Please stop.
We've recorded this for an hour, but it's 2 minutes.
James, can we call it Rural Concerns, : the creamery? Would that make sense to listeners? Or about the creamery, Rural Concerns?
Rural Concerns, bros in the creamery.
I think
that's so much. Okay. Rural Concerns it is.
There's no Rural Concerns on Twitter, so let's just have it.
Okay.
So that's what we'll do. You keep me up to date with cool things that are going on in London. I tell you about weird stuff going on in the countryside. Hopefully along the way, I don't become a total hermit. And Yeah, what you're about to listen to is the very first episode. It's technically a pilot, and it's worth pointing out that we don't touch on any of those key themes within this episode. It's merely us getting told off by producer James for not adhering to the plan which we set out. So thank you for keeping us on task, and we hope you enjoy the episode. I understand the note was to make it tighter and shorter. We made it longer and wilder, but it is funny.
It doesn't seem like you understand that.
Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of Rural Concerns.
Hello, I'm Chris.
Okay, he's lost it immediately. Hello. That was Chris Cantrell.
I'm Chris Cantrell, and in the year 2020, I thought it would be a brilliant idea to swap the city for the countryside, a decision which was, with the benefit of hindsight, very, very locked down.
I'm Sunil Patel. I live in the mega city of London and enjoy easy access to world-leading cultural events, little artisan coffees, and M&M's World.
I'm going to, I'm upping my amount.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
You just got to stay that close and you can't turn away at all.
I'll stay that close, yeah?
Mm. Don't turn away.
No matter what we say.
I don't want to start too nervous. I'm too nervous.
I don't want you to speak for me about how I live.
But I know all the secrets and stuff. You can say how I live.
Yeah, I don't want to, I want the world to get the best impression of how you live. I don't want to be like, oh, he's really lonely.
But I am. That's kind of the reason why we're doing this, because I haven't got any friends anymore. So basically, should I give him the top level of what's going on?
Yeah, go on.
So buckle up. This is a podcast. Sit down. Don't worry. It's fine. It's exciting. So we're doing a podcast in 2024, and basically concept that runs underneath it is that me and Sunil Patel, I'm Chris Cantrell, Sunil Patel. Fuck, I'm on it.
Chris.
Yeah,
Chris.
Do you want to come in, James, and just give us a point?
You've written a lovely list of topics that you're going to spend 10 minutes on, and you spent 10 seconds on the first one, and then you jumped to topic two. So let's go back to the first one.
I think that's a fair note.
A brief history of Chris and Sunil, friends/hustle enthusiasts. Okay.
But I was just trying to think of a way to talk to I was just thinking of a way to talk to introduce ourselves. But then
don't put it as second on the list then. Put it as first.
Right, let me do the intro. I'll do the intro. Hello, welcome to our new podcast. My name's Sunil Patel, and I'm doing this podcast with my good friend Chris Cantrell, who lives in the countryside and doesn't do an enormous amount. So he gets quite bored and he contacts me a lot to see what's up in the city. Chris, how are you? What's going on?
I'm looking out of my window. Not much is the answer.
You've got a window in that room, have you?
Yeah, I mean, it is too much backstory, but I live in a old hotel, and over the fire escape signs, I put pictures of my son and stuff like that.
That's nice.
I think if we were inspected, I'd be in a lot of trouble. I live in a dark skies area, pitch black, no street lights, and we sort of live near some sheep as well.
The thing is, though, in the way of that window, you've got a large water-cooled PC that you game on.
I
do. Lit up mechanical keyboard.
Yeah, and I had to take it to a PC specialist to ask him to turn the RGB lighting off, because I've been getting a lot of migraines. And I keep having meetings with people remotely, and the lights cycled through lots of colours, you know, like Technicolor, green, rainbow. And I looked mad.
I don't understand why you bought so many colours. I don't understand why that's a design aspect that you went for.
I didn't, but it's a powerful PC, but I am beginning to see why it was significantly reduced.
Why do you need such a powerful PC, though? What's going on?
So much of this story, let me take you back to the blight, to 2020.
That's when you first thought you might do a podcast on it.
Yeah. Well, no, it was back then it was Twitch streaming, wasn't it? Everyone's getting into Twitch streaming. And I did it once with a laptop and I cried. So I spent £1,500 on a top high spec gaming PC. And I was like, my wife saying, we don't have this money. All your work's just been cancelled. And I had tears in my eyes and I said, this is my job.
This
is how I make money. And then we did I did one more Twitch stream.
Yeah.
And then never did it again. Never had any interest in doing it ever again. But still got a high-end gaming PC just about paid off. And I put stickers that I find out in the world on the side, you know, like on the glass screen. Yeah. So
This is something I would never, like nobody that I know in this city would buy a tower PC. It just makes no sense. Space wise.
What do you want me to say that? Oh, yeah, I've got the space. Oh, yeah. Jealous?
Yeah. I'm on MacBook Pro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brand new?
As you well know, I bought it yesterday, for this podcast.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to fill in. I'm imagining a world where we don't know everything that's going on. Someone listening doesn't know every single thing that we talk about all the time. I'm trying to fill in some gaps. I know you got it yesterday. And I know it's 16-inch screen, I'm going to say it, it's too big.
It's not portable. It's not portable in any way. It's about as useful as a tower PC.
But you can fit it in a bed set.
I've been to your hotel in the countryside. And it is idyllic. There's sheep and stuff in the fields around. I would be very happy there, I think.
Well, that's what we do. So it happened during lockdown. The hotel that I live in belongs to my mother and father-in-law, and we moved up during lockdown, and we fell in love with the place. We spent 5 months walking around the fields and fell in love with it. So we moved his entire lives up here, and then the world switched back on.
Yeah.
And I now increasingly think, what have I...
Oh, yeah, you were part of that, like, everyone, like, deciding the city's over because of the pandemic, and you went out there, and then we came roaring back, and now you're still there.
It's very embarrassing. It's become, like, a very dated thing to have uprooted your life during COVID for a new life in the countryside, because now I'm, like... out like a dick.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Out like a dickhead that's trained. And it's so far away from everywhere. All the work that I do, it's so far away from everybody I know and everything that I do. But we can't move now. We've been here 2-3 years. My son is settled and he's having this idyllic little countryside life. So I'm here now.
And also every time you come to London, you get quite scared as you get off the train because you think it's too hectic and fast for you.
Doesn't
now,
happen.
Isn't it?
Because I don't mean to be, I don't mean this to sound like it's going to sound, but my career is going very well. So I'm in London to such a frequency that it feels very second nature to me.
That you could just live here, maybe.
I could just live here, but I can't. So it's nice to come down. It's not. I said to my wife, I was like, you know what? I think I broadly like the split of my life.
Yeah.
A bit of time here, a bit of time there. And I looked my wife in the eye and I said, if I had to do... If I had too much of one or the other, like too much of the countryside or too much of the city, I think I'd top myself. And she said, stop talking like that. You know what I mean?
You loved London when you lived here, though.
Yeah, I did. But
I don't know why. You weren't like going out to galleries or anything.
No, and I think that was the assessment. Me and my wife were together and we were living in Kilburn. I'd got made redundant. That was the big driving force. So my money was disappearing. And then I was like very committed to being in London because all my friends were there and stuff. And then my wife said, I own a buy-to-let property in Manchester and the mortgage is £50 a month.
I mean, that's still a city, though. That's not bad.
And I said to my wife, we need to move immediately. I said, don't even pack anything. Just like, let's get on the train. Let's get out of here. But then we've just moved further and further north. And now I live near Scotland.
Where's the next move?
At this rate, Isle of Skye.
Are you going to die there? Do you think you'll die there?
Yeah. When we moved, like we're trying to move house now. Again, that's another saga for another day. But I it's so stressful. I said, again, I looked my wife in the eye and said, I want to, like, I'm not doing this again. I'm going to die in this house. And she's like, please, just not in front of us, son.
You've got to stop telling your wife you're going to kill yourself.
I'll not kill myself, just be dead. I want to be dead. But you still live in London.
Yes.
You're a man of an age in a flat share. So do you want to...
Yeah, but I'm in the top... This is the top end of flat sharing. I'm with one other person.
So no, the podcast has been initiated by my life being a bin fire, but please... For people that don't know you, and by that I mean people that haven't seen adverts, they haven't seen adverts on telly or listened on radio, because Sunil is one of the UK's leading advert actor men. Could you sort of fill in some blanks about where you live, what your sort of vibe is?
I live in London. My vibe is young man about town. I own a car with a very small boot and very small seats in the back because I don't expect passengers or guests. Probably doesn't have any ISOFIX points either for child seats, because it's just for adult men driving around. Just drive to Sainsbury's and out to like have fun. It's a fun, I live a fun like vibe, you know, zone two. That's what it's all about. And I pop out for coffees every day.
Okay.
What do? I think because a lot of my friends are just around in the day, I end up doing stuff like at the moment, once a week, I go out for all-you-can-eat sushi next to a petrol station just down the road at lunchtime. It's pretty much empty, and it's just a few of us eating sushi there. It's really fun.
I only eat in places that are empty when I'm stressed, because I'm in lots of different major cities and stuff, so places I don't know. So I always go around, and if it's busy, I'm like, I can't go in there. So I take myself to empty places, and I was saying to my friend, basically, if I'm out for work... I have basically a wardrobe of clothes I just wear for work. And if I'm all over the country wearing the same clothes, am I basically becoming like a sort of Baba Yaga type folk demon for the hospitality industry? Do you know, like a guy in like a yellow shirt and a blue jacket showed up, and 6 months later we went out of business, and it's the same outfit. And it's popped up in Edinburgh, it's popped up in Manchester.
Like, you've just got a uniform. That's nice. It's nice to have, isn't it?
Yeah, but I sit in there, and I think it's bad times for your business if I'm in there, like, enjoying the space in silence. What should we do? We've got a schedule with producer James, absolutely livid with us for jumping around, but that's fine.
I have a question for Sunil. Do you like, Chris has a uniform that he can wear. Do you have a sort of uniform, a city uniform?
I have a uniform that I cycle. I mean, I'll wear something for like 6 months at a time. My uniform at the moment is, so I just go to Uniqlo whenever I want, which Chris can't do. Mm. And I buy like 10 of the same t-shirts, and I just wear them for a couple of years. That's as close as I get to uniform. The only thing like clothing wise that I sort of have is a uniform. Like, I never wear loungewear or tracksuits. If I wake up, I'm up, I'm showered, and I'm wearing stiff raw denim jeans.
Stiff denim.
And everything. I don't like wearing like, you know, what do these people wear, you know, when they're lounging around? Some of them go to the shops in them.
I think that's a question for you, Chris.
There's an epidemic of men in loungewear day to day. Like, you see it at the school gate, you know, like the dad showing up in jogging bottoms and stuff. And
in the countryside?
Not as much here. There's like farmer people show up in like mucky big, but that feels different because that's working. But really, if you're showing up at 3:45 wearing jogging bottoms, all you're saying is that you're lazy and don't work. But I have to say, I have got into loungewear recently.
Yeah.
I have to do loads of long distance, but basically I'm trying to trick my brain into thinking that everything's fine. Do you know what I mean? I have to drive to Manchester a lot, 2.5 hours drive. Got loads of bits and pieces going on there, loads of friends. So about once every week, 2 weeks, I have to go down to Manchester. I get in the car and I say, this isn't far at all. Do you know what I mean? Like a brain thing. I'm just like, this is nothing. When in reality, it is quite a distance. So I get
it's a bit of a commute, isn't it? Yeah.
It's quite a commute. But when I do the train to come down to see you, that's 3.5 hours, and I've started wearing jogging bottoms on that bit of the trip.
Are you one of those people that wears like tracksuits and jogging bottoms for flights.
Yes.
It's disgraceful. It's disrespectful to the engineers that made that incredible machine and the people that work in that environment, and you're coming on dressed like, I mean, I don't even know.
I don't dress like a man of my age. I know that much. Do you know what I mean?
But what does a man of your age dress like, though? I think that doesn't exist anymore.
Shirt, gilet.
Yeah.
A gilet.
No one wears gilets. What are you on about?
I've got friends that wear gilets.
The only people that wear gilets down here are people that work in hedge funds.
I've got friends that are doing all right.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that's good.
Yeah. They're all right. None of all of them are sad.
James has written the word compo in the chat.
I look like me and this is a tangent, but me and Sunil were together and we were doing a live performance to entertain people together, and it was us, old friends, and we were in Scotland and some people from Scotland, and I made the mistake of telling those people that I over lockdown got a stylist. That was a big mistake. I couldn't have felt
like
more. I couldn't, yeah, but in a way, like, it's like, I was going on about, I dress in Uniqlo, and I think that's funny that we both dress in Uniqlo, because, and no offence to either of us, but we're not like spry, like we've got some, you know, some good old fashioned 1950s heft to us bodies, and Uniqlo is very much the brand for sort of like shapeless, beautiful Japanese waifs, isn't it? It's Uniqlo.
I would love to wear a suit every day, but I wouldn't know where to fucking start like doing that. And it's so expensive.
I think one trade-off of not being in the office world anymore is that I will be wearing a suit or a formal thing again. I want to wear I don't want to wear silly clothes. I want to wear like nice clothes, but I want to wear like trainers and t-shirts and stuff. And I want to do that until I'm dead.
By the sounds of it, you're going to die almost at any point in the next 3 weeks.
I mean, once we get this move done, I'm going to move the last box, sit down on the thing, dead.
How often does your wife leave the village?
Well, and this is the thing. She's a voice coach. She's traveling.
She's traveling as well then?
Well, yeah, she's getting busier and busier. So last couple of weeks, she's been to Bristol. She went to Geneva to teach. She's teaching business people how to do presentations at work.
Wow.
And she was teaching like the CEO of some like Danish podcasting company. Like how, I don't know. I don't, and she gets upset that I don't remember retain any of the specifics, but I wish her well.
Yeah. But you've kind of got it pretty good then, because you get to like travel around the country and then go back to your like idyllic country home.
That's the plan.
Where you wear tracksuits and just like do nothing.
Well, that's not, I mean, I'm always hustling, I'm always working, but I'm quite, lonely.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
But you don't have what I do, which is like, at any point, 24/7, where I am now, I can text someone and say, do you want to go for a coffee?
Yeah, I don't have that at all.
I mean, you can't get a coffee that late at night. You probably have to go to the 24-hour petrol station near me,
yeah,
which has a Greggs built in.
The myth that London is a 24-hour city, it's not. It wraps up at 10 o'clock sharp.
Yeah, the pubs all shut at the same time, but I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I don't want to go out drinking anymore. I'm done with it.
Yeah. So where are your 24-hour options? A&E?
I went to a Swiss bar till 4 a.m. on Friday night. And that's enough for the year, I think. Don't get that up there, do you? Skiing themed lodge.
No, we ain't no Swiss. We get a few Danish people. Were you drinking alcohol?
Yeah.
Okay.
Two at a time.
Was it a deal?
No, I just didn't want to look like a loser getting one drink. I wasn't there on my own. I was just out of the round.
So should we go back a little bit? Sorry, James, but we're on a roll there until we were talking about nothing of any interest to anyone at all. Should we talk briefly about our history as friends?
Okay. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Just
how do you know each other?
How do we know each other? Yeah. Should we just say we've been friends for a number of years.
Probably talked to Sunil about it.
Fair enough. So Sunil, just in terms of a minor recap of what is it? How long have we been friends now? Is it like 12 years?
Are you calling it a friendship?
Oh, Right. Okay.
Yeah, we've been friends for over a decade now.
Yeah, over.
I can't quite believe it.
How old were we then? We were like in his 20s.
15, 16.
I think I seem to remember our first conversation was on some wet decking.
Was it? Where was that?
Outside a house party. But I remember thinking, this young man has his head screwed on. Whereas everyone else was off the heads talking nonsense. I think we were talking about management theory.
I don't think at any point I thought I had my head screwed on. But yeah.
No, but what I like about you is you keep it all internal. Do you know what I mean? I'm so worried about you, but it's in general, the drama. I know there's a voice in your head screaming, what the fuck am I doing? But everyone's got that, but you don't put it on anyone else.
I don't often think, what the fuck am I doing, to be honest. But yeah, no, it has been 12 years of you suggesting that I do, which is nice.
You should. You really should. I mean, you should look.
You are the most worried of my friends.
I think that's unfair.
You're a worrier.
But I'm also like a meticulous. I'm thinking about a lot of things. Meticulous. You know what I mean? Too many things.
I only just, and this has changed my last 2 weeks of my life. Unbelievably, I've started doing a to-do list.
Time block management.
I couldn't believe it. It's incredible. I've done so much in the week that I've left for like maybe a year, and it's been an absolute. I'm going to keep doing it. I think I can't believe it. You didn't tell me about this.
I do it. And when I don't do it, I notice that it's going bad. Do you know what I mean? Like I lose focus in the days, and you don't always get all the way through your list, but you get a lot of it done.
But I imagine you have a lot of distractions, don't you? You've got a child and a wife.
Wife don't want all to do with me. Son's at school quite a bit, so I do have time to myself, time.
We basically live the same life.
Yeah, just knocking around. But I just like, I can't go for coffees with anyone, so I just like tromp around the fells.
What coffee do you drink there?
It's called Co-op Fine French Blend.
Really?
Have you heard of it? Nice.
You don't grind your own beans like we do down here?
I don't think, I've never seen you, I've never known of you grinding beans.
I got a bean grinder.
No, I don't grind my own beans. I'm too busy to grind my own beans. I'm trying to have one coffee a day. But basically, I tromp around the hills. I'm listening on my headphones. I listen to Biggie Smalls. And I think, I walk around I live on Hadrian's Wall, Roman country, and I walk on there and I do think, I bet nobody has ever listened to Gimme the Loot looking at this bit of old wall.
No. I wouldn't do that walk around here. You can't have music on when you're walking around here because anyone can come up behind you and attack you, you know?
My friend, when I was in London, I'm down and I've got my big phone out, looking for things, and I'm holding it away from me, and she was like, you need to not do any of that because you're going to get taken advantage of. But I've got this misdiagnosed thing in my head that I think I'm really hard and good in a fight, but I'm not. I was just born in quite a rough place. So in my head, I'm like, I don't care about anyone. Do you know what I mean? So I go to London, don't care about, I've moved up here now and I'm just talking to farmers and stuff. And I'm like, you're all soft as shit, which I shouldn't think like that. I'll do it. Because
farmers are like, they can murder someone and no one would ever find them.
Yeah, someone told me up here the violence is like rare but intense when it does happen. So you're like, right, okay, just wind your neck in, Kendrell.
Is it anything like Vicar of Dibley? Because I've been watching that this week.
Is it like Vicar of Dibley? Well, yeah, I tell you what, it's not. I mean, it's not as funny as a Vicar of Dibley.
Sweet and nice.
A lot more racism and homophobia and stuff just casually bandied about, we're in a village. The thing that I'm new to, having only ever lived in cities before, is you're on display in a village. You're in a goldfish bowl. Even if you don't know them and you don't really talk to them, you know who people are and you know sort of what the deal is. And you too, there's like a public element to you just existing.
Yeah.
And I find that really interesting and mostly great, but every now and again, a bit like anxiety inducing.
It keeps you in check, doesn't it? It keeps the community solid, right?
The elders, yeah. And what I did when I first moved up was wanting to ingratiate, you know, I'm committed to dying here. Yeah. So I wanted to ingratiate myself into the community. What I did was I became the editor of a co-editor of the Village magazine. So I sort of put myself in Village Life, which I thought was like an altruistic sort of thing to do, to put myself in the community. But all that really happened is I spend morning, noon and night arguing with pensioners.
Like about what, publishing their articles?
I won't budge and I won't give the church free advertising space. So it's like,
wow, they want free advertising space.
Well, they went, can you put this advert in and the issue of money's never raised? Do you know what I mean?
That's, advert for what? What are they advertising?
Like choir service, special Christmas events, you know, like this sort of thing.
Oh, they're events, right, yeah.
And I'm very sympathetic, but also I've got standards and basically they want to put a load of images in and stuff like that and mess up. You know, like, can you jazz this up? And I'm like, no, because the formatting is very clear and set.
Who's this, the vicar?
Everybody, really. I've upset. I've had to step away from the magazine recently because I've just
did
upset.
You tell them you wanted to kill yourself?
No. I was away. I was in London and I was doing something mad and I was getting bollocked because I didn't put an article in because I was like, I can't do this. I can't live like this. This is mad. So I've said I need to take a bit of a step back. But
why don't you become editor in chief and get some dog's body to do the actual work?
Because quite cunningly, nobody will touch it with a fucking barge pole. they see that for the time sink it is. But basically, I'm going to take a step back and I'll still help because the lady that does it is octogenarian. So
yeah.
I'm going to make sure she's got, I'll deliver it for her stuff, but I can't be, it's like 2 working days a month, which in lockdown was fine when I started doing it. But now it's like, I can't lose that time. But basically I'm like, I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to take it back in my retirement years and sort of, you know.
How long did you retire now then, do you think?
Well, how I feel? I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like I've really got going yet. So it feels churlish to talk about how retiring, like I've just died.
Yeah. I mean, you've had 2 careers basically, haven't you?
Yeah.
If not more.
But I didn't like the first one.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, and if you want to ask us a question about the countryside or reprimanders or whatever, you can email us at christopher@alovelytime.co.uk. And whilst we can't promise we will read every letter we get on the air, we will respond with a JPEG of our feet.
It really means a lot, actually, that you've given us your time. And if you want to go the extra mile, we'd really appreciate a review on Apple Podcasts or a recommendation to a friend.
Maybe a fit ante. So that was World Concerns. It was produced by producer James for A Lovely Time. Music, Sting. Has he given us the rights to use Roxanne?
He's not replied.
Okay, so we'll have to see about the music. It's either going to be Sting or it's going to be something completely free from an audio library. Either way, it's going to be as special.